Hello, friends. Welcome to the show. I'm Tom Broback, and my guest today is Shannon Will. Shannon is a sports physical therapist at Impact Sports Physical Therapy in Baltimore, Maryland. Shannon treats a wide variety of patients, including collegiate and professional athletes. I take time today to understand what systems Shannon has in place to help herself and her patients thrive. From understanding nutrition, to reducing stress, to empowering patients to educate themselves on exercise and the human body. Shannon is a great follow on Instagram at will_power_PT. Make sure you follow her today, and don't forget about the links to the Bold Based Performance courses in the show notes, especially our Athletes with Asthma course, which can be found on coachtube.com. Let's continue to grow the mind and change the system. I did hear a quote one time that no one wants to grow up being a physical therapist. And I laughed a little bit because usually it takes a specific event in someone's life to want to pursue physical therapy. Typically, it's an injury as an athlete. Sometimes it's a relative that was a PT that had a big impact on their life. Sometimes it was an injury, they couldn't figure it out, or it was a training deficit and they learned a lot about the human body. What was your catalyst to becoming a physical therapist and indeed a sports physical therapist?
Yeah, honestly, I was terrible at writing and grammar and like reading classes. And so I always was like, I love math and science and like anatomy. And I knew that I was like kind of that science type of brain. So I knew I wanted something to deal with, honestly, biology, anatomy, the human body. And so, and obviously being like active growing up and playing sports and, you know, being around people that played sports, like I love that atmosphere and honestly, even just that group mentality. And then I had a friend that tore his ACL when he was younger in high school. And I went to some of his treatments and I was like, and I've never been a PT before. Like I knew what a physical therapist was, but I've never been to a treatment room. So I went and, you know, this woman sat down and was like super chill. She was just like, you know, hanging out, obviously very like informative and very, it was like an educational experience, but also like, she was just kind of like shooting the shit almost and just hanging out. And so I just was like, wow, this is such a cool job where, you know, this woman's like clearly educated and has higher education, but also is personable and like down to earth and you know, just this normal setting and being able to spend that one-on-one time with that person and that be their job. So from then on, I was like, wow, like that's pretty cool experience. And then I kind of looked more into it and I was like, wow, this could be something that, you know, I want to pursue in the future. So I always had that in the back of my head. And then kind of like going forward, my grandfather got sick and, we were with kind of him in the hospital and seeing like what physical therapy does in the hospital. And just knowing that, like, it's not just when you think physical therapist, it's not just a sports PT. And I think that's important to realize too, is that physical therapy can be super helpful in all different domains, especially in the hospital and getting people, you know, discharged to home, you know, with even just burn victims. Like, I mean, in grad school, there's just so many different avenues you can go into. So I thought like, if there's ever a time where, you know, I'm kind of getting run down by, you know, treating a bunch of patients per day, I could always switch to go into different avenues. So I just thought like, there's so many different ways to help people. So I kind of just started, you know, narrowing my focus in with physical therapy and just really enjoyed the kinesiology program at Maryland and just went with it.
I agree with you on that. I think it's important to have different avenues you can explore because the older you get in life, you start valuing different things. You might value your schedule more. You might value your time off more. You might value not having to do weekends, or you might want the flexibility of, you know, I work a couple of weekends, but I get a couple of weekdays off. I can do more things with my kids later on in life. And to have that ability, that is the beauty of physical therapy. You can go work in a hospital, you can go work in a school, you can do home care, you can do orthopedics, you can do, there's so many different avenues. And I think even if you're just in one avenue, you can still help so many other people who have questions about those other ones. If you have a grandpa who has a hard time getting out of bed, or a relative just, you know, had a stroke and they're doing PT and they have questions, you can help guide so many different people, even if they're not in your specific niche.
Exactly. I think it's important to know when to refer out to somebody else. You know, I have great PTs that are, you know, even I'm a sports PT, but I have other friends are great sports PTs, even in different areas of Baltimore. And if they are too far to be able to come see me, I'm going to refer them to one of the people that I've made connections with. So I think I'm also about, you know, not burning those bridges with even your own domain. It's not really competition. It's just like, how do we help the patient? Because that's the priority.
Can you give me an example of a time a patient came in and they really wanted to work with you, but you knew they were better suited for another setting or for another therapist?
Yeah, I actually had one of my good guy friends. He came in with a lot of more like neck instability, a lot of cervical type of kind of symptoms that, I mean, he would just get dizzy with anything that we did or nauseous, or, you know, he would lose concentration. And, you know, I enjoy treating necks, but I definitely think that was a time where I was like, you know, this, all of this is just not adding up. Right. And I knew a local, physical therapist in Timonium that I was like, he does great cervical work, and deals more with kind of concussion symptoms and this kind of dizziness and things like that. So, I reached out to him along with my coworker and kind of connected with him and was like, hey, this is what's going on with this. And the patient, I told the patient I was going to talk to the physical therapist and see like where his best care would be. And so set him up with an appointment there. And then he ended up getting some better treatment there. So and I told him, I was like, and I texted him right after his first treatment, was like, how to go and whatever. And it's never like, I can't do something. It's like, it's that like, I'm great at one thing, but this person's great at this thing. Right. And you know, right now, like just with the symptoms that you have, like you need someone that is really focused with this, you know, kind of concussion rehab or more of that cervical instability that you need. So I think that's just an opportunity for me to be like, hey, like, you know, you've been my friend for years. I want you, you know, you're also my patient. I would do this for any one of my patients, but I want you to have the best care and then come back to me when, you know, this is something that I can help you with more of just overall neck stability, and mobility and, you know, upper body strength, stuff like that, which is more of what I do. So I think it was an opportunity just to be like, just to really treat the whole person and not just be like, okay, I'm going to treat you with the little things that I know you're going to get better with. But I knew that he wasn't going to be better long-term from some of the stuff that I was doing day one. And sometimes that's hard to admit to yourself, but I was just like, you know, it's better to be open and be like, hey, this is what you need to do. You need to go to, and also I referred him to a neurologist first, to the doctor, and then also this physical therapist. So I definitely talked to two different people about his case because it was more severe than I think he even thought. And, you know, I still talk to him today.
I think telling the patient, you can always come back to me, is a really key point there, totally. Where you're not trying to convey that I don't want to work with you anymore, I don't want to see you anymore, or we're not a good fit. It's right. Like, I can help you, but you can get better help if you do this path as well. And maybe we work together. But I think a lot of young therapists and coaches struggle with that, where even whether it's for PT or if it's nutrition advice or if it's they're having emotional or psychological problems. I think as PTs, we know a lot about a lot of different things, but that doesn't necessarily mean we should be trying to solve every problem that comes in our door.
I totally agree. And that's why like connections are everything. And just, you know, and that's why I ask my patients like questions about them. Like, I'm like, you know, or if they're seeing a psychologist or they tell me they're seeing like a therapist, I'm like, you know, do you mind giving me their name? Like, do you like them? They're like, oh my gosh, I love, you know, my therapist, like here's her contact. And then it's like, okay, I'll start referring you know, it's all word of mouth, right? It's like, I'd rather refer something to somebody to, you know, that they have that good connection with. So it's always good to ask questions about that. And also I think as a physical therapist, I think the best relationships I have are obviously the ones that, you know, refer more people to me, refer their family members to me. Like that's the best right. referral that I can get. But I think if I look back on those relationships, it's because I got to know them, you know, as a person and, you know, asked about their family. And, you know, I connected with their coaches or their athletic trainer. And I was like, hey, just put me in a group text with your coach. You know, we can just, even just as simple as like, hey, this is Shannon, my physical therapist. If anything comes up, let me know. Like if there's something I can be at practice for or help out, let me know. Here's my contact. And then, you know, sometimes we just say hi back and forth, but I know that circles back around to something in the future. So you just really never know.
I think that helps solve one of the biggest problems I've noticed early on is I tell, let's say I have a high school athlete who sprained their ankle. I tell them one piece of advice. Their coach tells them another piece of advice. Their gym teacher tells them another thing. Their parent tells them something. They Google something else. And now they have like five or six different messages coming in. They might be similar. They might be different. But I think taking the time, energy, and effort to connect all of those different pieces together so we are on the same page in the best interest of the patient or athlete is ultimately what's going to benefit everyone the most.
Yeah, because honestly, when I mean, I deal with a lot of like high school and college athletes. And so, you know, they have a lot of stress on their plate, especially with COVID too. And being able to, you know, being able to do school and friends and even with an under with an injury they're dealing with, like it really takes a mental toll. And so when they're getting so much information at once, they don't really know the path to go down and just feel confident in it. They feel really lost. And so I think what you just said, like, you know, it's great that you're getting information from the PT, the coach, the doctor, the friends, like who've had the same injury. And so I think it's important to be like, hey, what have you heard about your injury? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about how it relates to you specifically, because I could see two ACLs and they could be completely different. I could see two ankle sprains and they could be different. So it's like, okay, let's see what applies to you. And we kind of narrow that home and then let's work on, this is what the next 2 weeks are going to look like. So they know what is going to happen when they're with me. Like, this is what we're going to work on the next 2 weeks. You know, I always explain, like, when they come in, it's like, you know, we'll do a couple of exercises. I'll tell them like, hey, the goal today is like working on your glute strength, working on your motor control, or like that single leg stability today. And these are the exercises we're going to do. And then afterwards, just kind of following up and be like, do you see how this exercise built, you know, the next exercise built on the first one. So the first one we did, you know, the last one might be a little bit more explosive than the first one. And so kind of just being like, just educating them and just connecting the dots for them. And so they're not as lost when they go home, and it's always building throughout their care. And it takes time to educate the patients and not just be running around too. So I love how, where I work at Impact Sports, and we have 45 minutes one-on-one time, and there's no text, there's no PTAs. And so it's just me and them. And so I think that's so important that I'm sitting there with them with every exercise and not just giving them off to somebody else.
Right. What are some ways you educate them and empower them and set expectations without overwhelming them with too many exercises or too much knowledge from the get-go?
Yeah, I think day one is just about really listening to them, honestly, just kind of hearing them out in terms of their injury and kind of like what they're nervous about. And also just taking them through more functional things, like even though we test like specific muscles and stuff, but getting them to stand up, seeing how they squat, seeing how they lunge, how they single leg squat, maybe like a little, like a bound, like just kind of jumping from one foot to the other foot and seeing how like that running pattern would be. And then sometimes they're just like, oh, like I'm a little nervous about this, or you can see it in their face. They're just like really apprehensive. And so like, I kind of take those like mental cues and kind of even write that in my note and just kind of know that like, hey, this is what they were timid on, and relate these exercises back. So if they were really timid with kind of jumping on one foot because they can't, you know, their knee caves in, they're having knee pain when they're, you know, when they're running or jumping in basketball, then if we're doing something quad related, just laying on the mat where it seems pretty simple, it's like, hey, this exercise carries over to when you're landing coming down from a rebound. And so then I feel like it's like, they're not just like, you know, normally they're not on their phone at all, but it's not just like they're laying on the couch, like on their phone. It's like, now they realize this simple exercise connects to their ultimate goal. So just always relating it back to sport, I think, is important, especially on day one, just being like, hey, these things in the beginning, they're our first day type of things, just to like, for me to learn about you, about your muscles, you know, just about your movement in general. And this is how we're going to progress. So really like setting the timeline for them, because I feel like when you come in and you just give them three exercises and they leave, they're like, okay, well, how am I going to get better? But it's like, no, this is how you're going to get better. So I'm going to set this plan out for you. And like every time you come in, we're going to be working on something different, whether that be strength, stability, mobility, control, maybe all within one session. And also just, you know, I always tell them like, hey, we're a team here. So, if something feels off, just let me know and like, keep me updated on how you feel.
Would you say your average patient is like middle schooler, high schooler, collegiate, or kind of variety of, or even different?
So we treat high school, college, and professional athletes. I would say most of the kids that I treat are college and after college. Okay. And high school in there too. So, it's definitely a younger population, which is awesome. But I think like just getting them to focus sometimes too on, you know, the task at hand or, focus on, you know, what's most important for their injury rather than comparing themselves to their other teammates, and kind of taking it away and just being like, hey, you know, you might not be able to lift the exact same weight as this guy right here, but if we build the form up, you know, I'm not worried about putting on all the extra weight. If you have that stable form and no pain, you're going to be able to get back up to feel more confident around your teammates.
Do you think your population has a better understanding of performance and rehab and training than that same population like 5 or 10 years ago, based on social media, the internet, podcasts, just information availability?
Just everything.
Right.
I do think, like, honestly, I kind of think back when I was in high school playing sports, like, I went to an all-girls school and we had gym, but it wasn't, we didn't have like any sort of weight training. And just even learning how to squat or, you know, just even how to load your body, I would say. And even as a female, I think it was kind of even just pushed aside even more. And going to an all-girls school, it's not even like we had all the equipment that an all-boys school would have. So I think comparing it to what I have to what they have now, I think is awesome. I think it still needs to come full circle a little bit. But I think now I'm seeing that they are taught so many different things and sometimes they don't know what's best for them. So even when I'm treating some of my college athletes that are in the strength and condition room, you know, at the Division I sports, they're squatting with a huge arch in their back. They're looking straight up to the ceiling,
right?
You know, and they have like, you know, 300 pounds on their back. And so I'm like, okay, well, hold up. Like there's definitely an injury waiting to happen here. Like I know exactly why your back hurts when I'm just looking at you, you know, seeing you move. So I think in terms of, it's great that we have more opportunities to strength train, and you know there's a lot of information out there, but now it's like what's important to you.
I like that, and it goes back to connecting with the patient on what's exactly important to them, what do they value, what are they trying to get back to, and not necessarily what your goals are for them, but what are their actual goals and how can we work together to get to that in a you know, in a fast way, but also in a safe way too, because I think it's really challenging when you're working with high level athletes. They want to be back yesterday. You know, it's never fast enough. It's never quick enough, but you're trying to set them up for the long term. It's not just about the game this weekend or the tournament next week. We're trying to get you to have a long career or have, you know, get a scholarship or get a contract and not just, I think we get so dialed in on the short term. And as a therapist, you're kind of there to help bridge them to the long term with some of their goals and expectations.
I think also just with COVID over this past year, I kind of use that as an opportunity to be like, hey, like, you know, unfortunately this is happening to people around us and around the world, but like, let's be thankful that you're healthy to be able to come into me right now. And second, you know, let's use this time that you have a little bit more time at home because they weren't going to school or to college and having school at home. Like, let's work on your health. Let's have some different goals. And it might not be, I need to lift the most or I need to be the fastest, but let's make sure that you're running without pain, that you're landing and absorbing that force. Like, let's think of some other goals that translate to your sport that you've been putting down because you've just been go, go, go. So I was like, let's use this time together where you're home from school. I'm seeing you, you know, more consistently rather than they're home for 2 weeks and they go back, to really benefit their body and their health goals. And just looking at the whole person, like talking about water, talking about nutrition, talking about sleep, and really thinking like, hey, these are other things you can control right now, even though, you know, you're in here doing physical therapy for your injury. What are other things that can help with your performance? And so really talking about it and think, you know, kind of having that conversation with them. I've been doing that a little bit more over this past year.
What are some ways that coaches or therapists can educate on nutrition? I think a lot of coaches and therapists know a lot about what's good to eat or what's better to eat or what's good for an athlete to eat. But there is this kind of gray area between what I can advise or what say and what is outside of my practice. What are some advice you would give for those kinds.
So I would say I can obviously speak on physical therapy because we did learn nutrition with physical therapy. It was some of it, you know, I wish we had a little bit more. Right. I also, with my certified strength and conditioning specialist certification, I also learned some nutrition with that too. And so, you know, even as a physical therapist and probably yourself, you can speak on this, you kind of, and your own diet and your own exercise, like goals, just with me and you, we're kind of getting all this information with nutrition. So I definitely am not an expert, like as a nutritionist whatsoever. So I would definitely, right, if someone's looking for more of that structure, I definitely want to refer them to more of a sports nutritionist and refer them out. But we can still talk about just the base things with them, because sometimes like it just takes, like people know, like don't eat pizza every night, but like, you know, you can still kind of educate them, you know. For example, I'm just going to give you an example, like with my high school kids, you know, they were coming into an appointment at 2:30 and they were like, oh no, I'm going to be late. Like I just woke up. And I'm like, well, you're waking up at like 2 p.m. Like what's going on? And I'm like, you can't. I was like, no, you're not. I was like, you need to take, you know, you need to hold yourself accountable. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't care if you're in high school, like you're not going to be late to my appointment. And I was like, you know, like it's up to you if you stay up till 3 a.m., but just know that, you know, if you're staying up until 4 a.m. and sleeping until 2, all of your meals are going to be definitely a little bit weird, and you're probably not eating the best meal at 2 a.m.
Right.
So if you have these end goals of, you know, playing lacrosse or playing soccer or something like that, let's think about your everyday schedule. And so even just kind of just being upfront with them and just being, you know, just like, you need to be responsible for yourself and for your schedule. And then also, in terms of nutrition, just, I feel like what's been helpful for me and for my patients and my family is just eating more whole foods. So eating more that's in the fridge than in the pantry, and just right. kind of like having healthier options there. It's a little bit harder with high school kids just because, you know, their parents are going grocery shopping. But the more that they educate themselves and have those choices at school and make those choices, the better that they're going to be. So just, you know, talking to them about fruits and vegetables and, you know, apple or yogurt or, you know, peanut butter and whole wheat bread or something where it's like, you know, tell me what you ate for breakfast, tell me what you ate for lunch and dinner yesterday. And I can just be like, you know, hey, like, you know, probably having 2 fruit roll-ups might not be the best. I don't know why I said fruit roll-ups. I haven't thought about that in so long.
Cause they're tasty. That's why.
Cause they're so good. But, and at the same time, like, it's nice to, you know, have like, you know, have your cheat meals or whatever. So I'm definitely not a hardo about it, but I think just kind of just people want to talk about it. People want to be like, this is what I'm eating. This is, you know, this is what I'm drinking or whatever. And just talking to them about it. And we know that, you know, fruits and vegetables and getting those whole foods and getting water is important rather than drinking soda or fast food and getting nutrients in pre and post workout. So I definitely think we have something to offer for our patients, and I don't think we should stray away from it. I also think if someone wanted something more detailed, to totally refer them to a nutritionist, because that's who specializes in that. And that's the direction that they need to go then.
I still believe most athletes don't realize they have to eat differently than mm-hmm. normal people because they have these different demands in their life. And it's not as simple as you can eat more because you're exercising more and you'll be fine. It might be you need more protein. It might be you need more vegetables. It might be something very specific to you. And you're not going to get that advice just going on the internet and typing in what diet is best for me, or what's the best diet, or how do I gain weight, or how do I lose weight. You need to work with someone or talk to someone who has knowledge, who has experience, who talks to other people about this on a regular basis. Yeah. And it sounds go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, I talked to, I've met with the Towson University nutritionist. She's really sweet too. And she, I have a lot of Towson football kids right now. And I tell them, like, on staff is a nutritionist, like go see them. Like, it's probably free. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like use your resources. And so like, especially at a college or, you know, even in high school, they might have connections for you that are already there where you don't have to feel, you know, kind of like you're searching online, like you don't know anybody, you don't know where to turn to. So I think like, especially in college, like there's a nutritionist for the team, go talk to him or her and just sit down and be like, hey, like my name's Shannon, like this is what, you know, I like am kind of struggling with. Do you have any advice? And they might, you know, kind of put you on a plan, or they might just like kind of talk to you for an hour and you might learn a lot. Like I would learn a lot sitting down with a nutritionist for an hour. So I think that's important too, just kind of like just telling them like where you can get the information.
And there's always this fine line between nutritionists and dietitians giving fitness advice and mm-hmm. therapists and, you know, trainers and coaches giving nutrition advice. And there's kind mm-hmm. of this gray area in between, but I think it comes back to treat other people the way you'd want to be treated. If you don't want nutritionists giving them an exercise plan, then don't give them this like detailed diet plan that you're not well versed in. But do give them like some general advice and a referral when need be. And you hope they do the same thing. And that's how we do what is in the best interest of the patient or athlete and not just make it all about myself.
Right. And that's how you make a team around that individual. And knowing, like, I always tell them, like, hey, I am part of your support system. Same with your family, your parents that are here with us today, and also the doctor, and then your coach. So it's like, if I can connect with those people, then all of us are more likely to be on the same page and really respect each other's thoughts, rather than just be like, no, your parents are wrong. Like with what they said, like you should be doing this, or the doctor said this, like, no, that's totally wrong. Like that's totally outdated. Because they learned that. And said that for a reason. And also like clinical experience goes a long way. Obviously, you know, research is very important, but also when you see, you know, 20 hamstring strains, you know, you have that background on what is really going to work well. And you see things come up that are more common. And then also you see some individual things that are like, you know I need to treat this person a little bit differently. So, you know, whoever's telling you advice, you know, especially from a healthcare professional, has that background, and you need to respect their thoughts and opinions and take it to heart, and also ask questions too if you're confused.
Have you seen more common injuries or surgeries even since mm-hmm. COVID started, where you're starting to think, okay, like something's changed here. I'm seeing a lot more of this. I wonder if it's because of the reactions we've had to COVID, the pandemic, lockdowns, things like that.
Yeah, totally agree. So, I mean, especially with COVID, I think I see a lot more neck and back pain, which is from people sitting at home where they don't have their desk, they don't have their like ergonomic chair, or they're set up at work. And mm-hmm. even just going to work, you are physically like you have a routine. Like you're getting the shower, you're like, you know, making your bed, you're going to work, like you're walking to and from the parking lot, like you're getting just activity based on like where your job is. And so when you just have to come downstairs and not get dressed, not get ready, and you're sitting on the couch, you're not as active. And I might be speaking for just, you know, a smaller kind of group. People could be more active by working at home. It could go both ways. But what I'm seeing clinically right now is more of the people I'm talking about. And not that that's bad at all, but some people are even working more because their computer is always there.
Right.
So even if they do something, they're working more hours and they're sitting at the computer slumped over with this like forward head, rounded shoulders, rounded back. They're, you know, they might be sitting at a bar stool like I literally am right now, or on the couch. And so I don't tell them like, that's bad. It's great that you're comfortable, but let me tell you some things of where you can put, you know, a pillow just behind your back while you're sitting on the couch, or, you know, even just every half hour trying to move positions or getting up and going to the bathroom and getting some water, and just like little like hints to just get you throughout the day. So I've definitely seen more chronic neck and back pain in the clinic over this time. And then also just from at home exercise, especially in the beginning of COVID, you know, nobody was going to the gym. And so it was at home exercises, which is great. I feel like social media was awesome for people to be like, hey, I could look at someone's Instagram live and I could do a whole workout with this person. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they have no one there kind of teaching them their form. And so even with some of my best girlfriends, like I've gone over just like how to squat and use their back, using their glutes like more effectively. So they're not having this back soreness after they're doing just their at-home workouts, like on their yoga mat.
What ways has your kind of job or day-to-day changed with COVID, whether it's stress, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, working too much or not working enough, or doing extra things to make sure you're taking care of yourself? What are things that have changed for you in this last year?
Yeah, this last year has been super interesting. I'm actually like really happy of what has come out of this year. And just looking at more of like the positive is that, you know, a lot of people wanted to change their habits to benefit their lifestyle and be a little bit healthier. So I feel like I was having more well-rounded conversations with people that they were realizing like, hey, you know, health is important. And when you don't have your health, you know, obviously with COVID, it really takes an impact on your everyday life. And so I'm thankful that I have not gotten COVID. But I know that people are still struggling with the after effects of, you know, the endurance and the breathing and stuff like that. So I definitely think people are more in tune to how they can benefit themselves in terms of exercise and healthy living and eating. And so I love having these conversations with people, because, you know, I just get to know them better because it's really personal. Like if me and you talk about like our own habits, like, you know, sometimes like, you know, I probably don't think the best about food and it might be more emotional or personal. So you really get to know somebody on a deeper level. So I think that's been awesome over this past year. So at Impact Sports, when the beginning of COVID, we definitely decreased our numbers and just had people that were more just straight post-op right from the hospital that needed our care right away. And then we slowly started adding people back in that were comfortable and safe to do so while following all the precautions. And so I, especially with my clinic, it was nice that, you know, normally we were busy like early morning and late at night. And I had this kind of sometimes a gap in the middle of the day, but now with people working from home, they could come in the middle of the day and kind of sneak away for 45 minutes. And so I'm seeing people that would normally just keep waiting until it got worse and worse. Right. And now they were coming in to benefit themselves. So I always tell them, I'm like, thank yourself for coming in and, you know, taking care of your body before this has gotten worse, because I've seen cases where you just like continue to do this and this, and it's never getting better. So I was like, always just like address it and text me if there's something that comes up that you're just iffy on.
That information is so helpful to nip something in the bud when it first starts out. It might turn into nothing. It might just be minor, but it's a lot easier to deal with pain when it's, or if injury, or you're just not feeling right when it's early on. If it's really late on or something severe happened, you're giving me a really hard chance as a PT to make sure that you're happy and back to where you were before. So I think that it's hard. It's always hard to educate people on that because usually they don't come in until after the fact where they had a, you know, they waited too long or they didn't come in right away. But I think when you have avenues like a podcast or social media, you can preach those things. So the average person knows, like, you know what, my back's bothering me a little bit. It's been a week or two. Let me just go in and see Shannon, maybe it'll be one or two visits and it'll just be preventative. It'll be helpful. And I don't have to wait to the point where it's like, I can't even get out of bed. I'm missing work. And I waited way too long.
And I always tell my patients of like, even I have a couple of patients just like with low back pain and they're feeling great. They're doing their own thing. And I was like, you know, I think next treatment is going to be our last time. Like we'll talk about, you know, more stuff to do at home, you know, any questions, let me know. And then I always tell them like, hey, this is not the last time you're going to see of me. I don't want you to come back in here because you're hurt, but just know, like, text me if something comes up or give me a call or whatever. And also if you're feeling like you need a little bit more hands-on treatment, or you just need like my advice with something, just call and get back on my schedule. Even if it's one or two treatments, keep me updated. And that helps establish that ongoing relationship with a patient rather than making like a huge deal where it's like, okay, last day, bye forever. Right. Like, you know, you're healed, but just knowing that it's an ongoing conversation because their body is always changing and evolving. And so different things might come up over time and it might be the same issue. It might be a different issue.
It's really draining for a therapist to have that. If you just have that hard set, you know, goodbye, never see you again. And you do that, you know, you discharge 5 or 10 people a week and you just keep doing that. And it's really draining because you have to invest a lot of time and energy into each patient, but then you might never see them again. You might never hear from them. They might never come back and see you. And it's hard to know, did I help them for the long term? Did I set them up for success? But if you establish like, I'm here for you, I'm open, even if it's a text, even if you just want to stop by, maybe it's like one visit a year or two from now, like I'm always there. And I think that helps the patient to feel included in the long term, that they're not out on their own and it's not, you know, them versus the world.
And honestly, I think social media is a great way to connect with people, especially with myself when I treat high school and college kids. They want me to post them on Instagram so they can show people that they're kicking butt in their off season. And then also when they are going back to school, you know, connecting with them on social media platforms and just, you know, throwing, you know, commenting or liking and just like being personable and just supportive in that way. Like if they post a picture of their team winning something, you know, I'm commenting being like, congrats, like so proud of you or whatever. And just knowing that, you know, you can do the little things that shows them that you still care and you support them. And knowing that when they reach back out, you know, that, you know, it's like when they come back in, it's like we're having similar conversations and it's like they never left.
Speaking of social media, I know a lot of PTs. My brother's a PT, his girlfriend's a PT, my sister-in-law's a PT. It's kind of like a family, family profession. But when someone goes on your Instagram, like a therapist goes on your Instagram page, it's like, wow, yeah. I really want to work in a setting like her. That looks really cool. But then they see how much like time, energy, and effort you put in and how many followers you have. And it's like, I don't know if I can ever be like her. What kind of advice would you give to a therapist in that mindset?
I mean, honestly, I feel like I'm just starting out by any means, you know, but obviously like it's all, you know, individual. Cause I look at physical therapists and I'm like, damn, like that guy's killing it, or, you know, that girl's killing it on Instagram. So I totally get that. But I think, my advice is like, I started it like on a whim just because I was like, oh, like I'm interested to like post things. And right. like, it was kind of just like, you know, what I was interested in, I would post. And like, you just need to start, like just start posting a little bit more about what you do. And honestly, like people are interested in it. Like, it's not just like, you know, posting pictures out to eat or with friends or whatever, but posting, you know, more about what you do. I think people are like, oh wow, I didn't know that he was doing this during the day. So I think with that's just kind of like, you know, bigger picture, but I think in terms of physical therapy, you don't have to have, you know, this great, amazing clinic and, you know, to post pictures. Like you can post videos from anywhere or post information and, you know, just be consistent, like post what you're interested in, just be you. So I just think, you know, people follow, people that, you know, are just kind of like true to themselves. And so I think just like starting and just posting and connect and even just making, and it, I mean, it is draining. It takes a while. It takes a while to make one post, honestly. Right. I mean, you probably know that with social media too. It takes time and energy to do so, but just kind of like, you know, for me, I kind of think about like, what are two posts that I can do every week? And then throughout the week, I post stories about, you know, what I'm doing throughout the day. But I think about during the week, like, okay, you know, what's something that I've been seeing lately? Maybe it's like on SportsCenter where there was a big injury where I'm just like, okay, you know, people are interested in, you know, ankle sprains, like with basketball, maybe I'll post one of my ankle sprains since that's a little bit more relevant. Or, you know, just kind of thinking of like two things per week that I post, and then also just following up with stories and just being consistent and also just trying to be myself and just reflect like what I'm interested in.
There's so much information out there these days, whether it's podcasts, social media, courses, books, you know, audiobooks. What are some specific resources that you keep going to better yourself, not only as a therapist, but as, you know, as a person, as an active adult, as just as a human being?
Yeah, I think as physical therapists, we always have to do like continuing education. So I think right. that every year I try to book a course that I'm interested in. I'm doing like a hands-on manipulation, spinal manipulation course with osteopractic in DC this coming up April. So I'm excited about that. So always like trying to do something in person. I know with COVID we couldn't, but right. in person, especially with physical therapists, like our hands-on skills can really just help build rapport with a patient. By like showing them honestly, like through touch and through your hands that you are confident. So that's something that I personally do is try to do something in person. And then honestly, just like social media can be a great source of people posting research articles and things like that. Even just mindlessly scrolling, following some doctors on there, following some, you know, head strength and conditioning coaches or, you know, head medical doctors from, you know, Duke or Maryland or something like that. And then also, you know, if there's something that comes up where, you know, I haven't seen as much research on, then I'm going to Google it and I'm going to search more into it and look more into it. And so like JOS PT or Journal of Orthopedic and Sports Physical Therapy is a great resource. I just took a course with Exos Performance, and Exos has a lot of great research that they put out too. So I think it's just, you know, just like we take just as patients are taking so much in, as a healthcare professional, we're taking a lot in too, and knowing what works best with your patient. And then also clinically, if there's things that, you know, have have worked for patients over time and applying them. You know, that clinical experience I think is important too. And also just asking questions to my coworkers. Like, we all went through grad school. We all, you know, have different, you know, kind of niches, I guess. And then we all are with research, like trying to keep up to date. And so if there's anything that like I have questions with or I want to learn more about, like I'm asking my coworkers and kind of like picking their brain too, and then also collaborating. And so I think it's important to just kind of like, you know, keep your ears open to multiple sources of information.
Absolutely. We talk a lot about what's happened or not happened in the last year. What are some things you are looking forward to in the upcoming year, whether on a professional level or personal level?
Yeah, honestly, like what we were kind of talking about in the beginning was I'm happy to like do more of these podcasts and kind of like I've been doing more like Instagram lives or saying yes to things that make me uncomfortable, honestly, because normally I'm putting my patients and my athletes on my Instagram, not myself as much. And so I think it is important to, I don't want this to sound selfish at all, but I think that my patients come in and when they see me doing exercises that I give them, it's like, you know, I'm not just telling you bullshit. Like, I'm doing this for my own body.
Right.
So I think sometimes it's not like that I need to be the most athletic person ever. Like I always tell them, you know, I'm not a college athlete. Like you, like I want you to get better. But I think it does show them, like, if I am, you know, exercising and practicing that healthy lifestyle and kind of even, you know, just showing that on social media, I think a lot of my patients even tell me, you know, that they love seeing that. And I think, you know, a healthy amount of it is important. So I'm excited to just like continue connecting with people like you, exactly, like doing things like this where I can learn from you. We can learn from each other, honestly. So that's exciting. Just kind of saying yes to more of these opportunities of connecting with people throughout the country. And then we recently launched our online training and rehab services. So it's through Impact Sports. And so I'm excited to start connecting with people over Zoom, but they might be in a different state, and being able to do like a more personalized program to meet their goals, to develop strength or endurance, focus on injury prevention. And then overall, you know, it's coming from a person with a sports physical therapy background. So I'm excited to get more into that.
That sounds like quite a bit of fun, of knowledge, of personal growth coming mm-hmm. for you and everyone that you work with in the coming months and coming year. I wish the best for you. Thank you so much for taking time to jump on the podcast, and I look forward to connecting down the road.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tom. I'll talk to you soon.